That. I know that the Lord would not lay these messages on our heart if it was not for, amen, some sinner being in the place today. And I trust that you'll listen today. And I understand we witness out on doorsteps and in the community and everywhere we go. And that's what we're supposed to do. And I understand church, for the most part, is about the saints of God and edifying the body of Christ. But I believe there's no greater place, no greater time to preach the gospel than now. Amen. You mean now? I mean anywhere you're at, amen, now would be a good time to preach the word of God and give that to sinners. And so we want to do that, and then we're prayerful as well that these messages, as we begun a series and or a springboard thought last week on warnings of wrath to come. And there is wrath, it is coming. Yeah. Amen. Jesus testified of it. John the Baptist testified of it. Apostle Paul testified of it. John the Beloved testified of it. There is wrath that is coming down the road. And we're getting closer and closer and closer. In fact, if you're here today and you've never been saved, you are closer right now in this moment to the wrath that is to come settling in upon your life than you've ever been before. And we want you to understand that this morning. Matthew 23, verse number 33. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Notice the question, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? The Bible said, Christ speaking to them further, wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Berechias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, listen to the heartbeat, listen to the compassion of our Savior, the brokenheartedness of the Lord, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, for I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, we humbly bow to request of you mercy and grace and help and strength and power, boldness and compassion, Lord, in all that we're getting ready to do as you've laid these messages upon our heart. And Lord, led us to this text to preach from this morning. Lord, I pray that for a few moments, Lord, you'd let it settle in upon our heart. And Lord, may sinner and saint alike be challenged. Sinners, Lord, obviously, may they be drawn by the Spirit of God, and the Word of God, and the warning of wrath that is to come in this place called hell. Lord, may they be wooed today by the words of God. Lord, I pray that, Lord, today would be their day of salvation. And then, Lord, for the church and the redeemed of the Lord and those of us in the family of God, I pray, Lord, especially this morning that, Lord, you would burden our hearts for sinners that, Lord, are no doubt on their way to this awful place. Lord, I pray that we would pray more than we've ever prayed, that, Lord, we would go more than we've ever gone, that, Lord, we'd have a boldness about us, Lord, a compassion, Lord, that would grow, Lord, to try to warn everybody that'll listen, Lord, of this wrath that is to come. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, everything that's done, may it be according to your will, arrange the atmospheres you've already done. Lord, the remainder of this service, Lord, do your work your way. May all the glory and the honor and the praise be to you, and we'll bless you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you know your Bible this morning and the life of the Lord Jesus, you're acquainted with what I'm getting ready to say, that Matthew 23 is one of the greatest, strongest rebukes the Lord would ever give in his earthly life. He marches to where the Pharisees and the scribes have gathered themselves, and he's going to gather the multitude around and even his disciples, and he's going to speak to them in verses 2 through verse number 12, warning them of false religions and false hopes and false securities that abound in the realms of religion. Beginning in verse number 13, he will turn his attention directly to that of the Pharisees and to the scribes. And over and over and over and over, he's going to tell them many things, but two things in particular. He's going to pronounce a woe unto them that is a warning, that is an attention getter. Amen. That is that there is something that is to come, and he's warning them and doing so through the woe. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees. Here's the second thing. And he reiterates over and over again. He calls them hypocrites. Hypocrites with exclamation points, as though he wants this to settle in. He's not just trying to tick them off. He's not just trying to make them mad. He's trying to get their attention that, and though they profess to know God, and though they claim to be right with God, and though even on the very outside of everything that they present unto men, on the inside, Jesus is saying, I know what you think, and I know what you say, and I know what you are. And the outside may look clean to me, but on the inside, you are filthy, and you are dirty, and you are vile, and you are dead. And so he pronounces woe and hypocrisy, woe and hypocrisy. He tells him, I know what you do to devour others and to draw people into your false faith. Amen. He says, I know how you lead them. And not only are you falling in the ditch, but you're dragging others in the ditch with you. And they're devouring widows' houses. And Jesus said, amen, you go to great lengths to, amen, make disciples of yourselves, and yet, when you're done, all you leave them with is a testimony that they are a twofold child of hell. And the Lord gives him these rebukes. There's a lot. Amen. We could go and preach and need to be preached. Amen. In a lot of places today. Amen. But he brings all of this down. This is his concluding thoughts in his message to the Pharisees and to the scribes. In verse 33, you serpents, you generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? I'm preaching this morning simply. I don't have a fancy title. I'm just lifting the question the Lord posed to these sinners and preaching on the thought, how can you escape the damnation of hell? You see, my friend, there's a warning that needs to be sounded. Hey, man, we dealt with it some on last week. There's wrath that is to come. And John the Baptist, in speaking to the very same crowd, Brother Jack, that Christ is now speaking to some 3.5 years later. Amen. John the Baptist warned them, amen, that the wrath that was to come, it involved hell. It involved unquenchable fire. It involved, my friend, the wrath of God being poured out upon the souls of men. Amen. He was speaking, my friend, of many things that were to come, of which, my friend, one is what Christ said. Amen. Is this place called hell? Amen. The question needs to be asked to every man, every woman, every boy, And every girl, I don't care if you're a drunkard, a fornicator, an adulterer, amen, a dope pen or a pill dealer, amen, I don't care if you, my friend, come from a good Baptist family, amen, the question, my friend, must be answered, amen, how can you escape the damnation of hell, amen. And so we want to look at real quickly this morning, amen, in this text, in this single question, amen, I believe we find three truths in Christ's teaching on the doctrine of hell. Now, this ain't deep this morning, but I believe the Lord has led us here, amen, to sound the warning and to ask the question, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Amen, this morning, if we was to take a poll, in fact, many, many years ago, and the numbers are getting worse, and the polls that are getting taken are even worse in this hour. Amen. But many years ago, they asked the question in America, do you believe in heaven? And my friend, it was something like 76 or 79% of Americans said, we believe there is a place called heaven. The same people were asked about their belief in this place that is called hell. And my friend, only 50% of Americans years ago, I'm sure, and it's lower, if not much lower today than it was back then, said that they believe in a place called hell. Amen. And I want to preach this morning on this thought. Amen. How can you escape the damnation of hell? Amen. The fact of the matter is you will not escape it by denying its existence. Amen. You're not going to escape it by trying to explain it away. Amen. Men have tried to, amen, rationalize it away. Amen. They have tried to, my friend, come up with all sorts of ideas and things that, amen, will make them feel as though, amen, they're going to escape this damnable place called hell. The fact of the matter is, and you'll see it today, amen, there's some things you got to understand about hell. Amen. And the first we want to deal with this morning is, amen, the reality of hell. The reality of hell in this single question. And Christ is asking literally what he is doing. He is confirming the existence of this awful place called hell. You say, preacher, I don't want to think on it. I don't believe in it. And I deny that even such a place exists. My friend, if it does not exist, why did Christ ask the question? Amen. How shall ye escape the damnation of hell? Amen. You see, it doesn't matter what your favorite philosopher has said. It doesn't matter what your favorite compromising preacher has said. Amen. People like Joel Osteen, and we'll call some names maybe today. Amen. When asked on Matt Friendhold, amen, on broadcast television, amen, what do you think in this place called hell? Amen. And false preachers will always answer the way Osteen did. Amen. They'll say, well, we don't like to talk about that. Amen. There's some, amen, a lot of debate about that subject and about that matter and about what it means. And it just makes people too uncomfortable to think about. Can I say today, amen, the doctrine of hell and its reality, amen, there is no great debate in the Word of God about it. Amen, there's no debate about it in the mind of Christ. Amen, there's no great debate about it. Amen, in the minds of those that have been saved from this awful place. Amen, hell is a real literal place. Amen, let me say this morning, amen, it's not a parable or a story. Amen. It's more than a scare tactic. Amen. It's not annihilation. It's not a temporary place of purging. And hell, as the Jehovah's Witnesses would say, is not merely going to the grave. Amen. I want to say this morning, it is a real place. And real souls of real people go after dying without Christ. Amen. The reality of hell is simply understood as this. In Psalm 9 and in verse number 17, the Bible said, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Amen. Christ in His earthly ministry. Amen. You say, I don't know about the reality of hell. Do you understand this? And if you study the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and His teaching, He taught twice as much about hell as He did heaven. Amen. Hell is absolutely a reality. And Christ, my friend, spake of it often. He sounded the warning of the wrath of God that was to come as it concerns the reality of hell. Christ believed it was so real and such a reality that Brother David, here's what he said in Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, if your right eye offend thee, amen, and you need to pluck your right eye out, because it would be better that, amen, you would enter into eternal life blind in one eye and to enter into eternal fire throughout eternity and have both your eyes. He said, if your right hand offends you, amen, you would be better to cut off your right hand, amen, and enter into heaven, amen, without a right hand or a right foot, amen, and enter into eternity as though it were leaving this world maimed. We know in eternity, amen, in the resurrection, we're all put back together in the image of Christ. Amen. But when you leave this world, it would be better, amen, to leave it maimed, to leave it handicapped in some way, amen, than, my friend, for you to enter into it, amen, eternal judgment, amen, that is leaving this world with all your members, with both your eyes. And that friend wind up spending eternity in hell. Don't tell me hell is not a reality. Christ is dogmatic about it. Amen. Christ says it is real over and over and over. Amen. Hell is a real place. Amen. This morning we can talk about the reality of hell's fire. Amen. The Bible said in Luke chapter number 16, and there was a rich man who died and was buried. And in his death, the Bible said immediately, he lifted up his eyes in a place called hell. Amen. And there he cried and testified, I am in torment in this flame. You see, over and over in the Word of God, we understand at this place called hell, when we think about it, there is the reminder and the teaching of the fact that in hell there is real fire. Amen. A fire that, my friend, burns so hot, and a fire that is kindled according to the book of Deuteronomy. Amen. It's not kindled or fueled by gasoline or diesel or propane, but it is literally being fueled by the awesome wrath of Almighty God. Amen. An eternal fire. The Bible said it is unquenchable. Amen. A place where the fire goeth not out. Amen. And so there is the reality of the fire. The reality of hell's fire. Amen. That's why we warn you today. Amen. Do you don't want to go to that place? Amen. Some foolish, wicked sinners have stepped up and said in years gone by, amen, you have your rock music stars and your rap stars and your heathens that have been bold enough to say, I can't wait to go to hell. I'm going to have a party and drink beer with my buddies, and we're going to live in orgies and in sex parties, and we're going to smoke our dome throughout all eternity in this place and it's called hell. Amen. You listen to me and you listen to me well. Amen. There'll not be one Budweiser served in that place. There'll not be one marijuana joint in that place. Amen. There'll not be, my friend, what? A sexual pleasure experienced in that place. It is a place where, my friend, the reality of the fire, amen, burns and burns and burns. And the screams of the souls of men and of women, of teenagers that died without God, amen, will experience the reality of hell's fire, and forever they will burn and be burned. reality of hell's fire. Amen. It's such a unique fire because, amen, this fire being kindled by the wrath of God. Amen. It burns throughout eternity. Amen. Never to go out, and yet, amen, it possesses the ability to inflict torment and pain and burning and produce screaming, and yet the soul of man is never consumed in that fire. It's an unusual fire. Yet it is a reality. You do not want to go to this place. Amen. There is no good time there. Amen. There's no ball games there. Amen. There's no golf courses there. And there's no shopping sprees there. There's no big bank accounts. No what? Amen. Takes anything from this realm. Amen. And brings it with them to that place. Amen. That place of reality. The reality of hell's fire is as sure as your breathing today. So I don't believe that. I don't care what you say you don't believe. Somewhere about 2 to 3 miles below your feet right now today is a cavern in the heart of the earth where there is a fire and is burning and is burning and is burning. And my friend, it is as real. It is as real today as it's ever been. Amen. And throughout eternity, amen, that fire will continue to burn. Amen. Amen. The reality of hell's fire. Let me say a word about the reality of hell's fullness. And the reality of hell's fullness. Amen. You see, hell has not only got a real fire. And the Bible speaks of hell's fullness. Amen. You say, what do you mean? I mean hell is full today. Amen. Full of old people and young people. Full of rich people and poor people. Amen. Full of white people and brown people and white people. Amen. And I'm telling you, people of every background. Amen. Of every economic status, of every prestige or lack thereof. Amen. Hell is full today. Amen. With the souls of real people. In fact, there is such a fullness. Amen. Here's what Jesus said. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 7. Boy, I feel preaching coming on. Jesus said, amen, beware. He gave a warning. He said, see that you enter not in at the wide gate. He said this about entering in at the wide gate. He said, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many, many, and many there be which go in thereat. Not a few, many. How many? I don't know how many. But when he spake of the straight gate and the narrow way, he said, few there be that find it. And so I take from that to me that there are many, many, many more that are going to wind up in destruction and in hell than are going to end up in heaven. Now, there's a lot of saved people. I believe that. We're not the only ones today that are saved. We're not the only redeemed of God. We're not the only manifestation of the family of God. Amen. There are thousands and likely millions today that are saved. In fact, when we get to heaven, the Bible said, amen, there's going to be such a host there. Amen. It's going to look as though it is as innumerable as the stars are. Now, if there's that many saved, boy, that's a blessing. But Jesus said there's more going to hell than's going to make it to heaven. Buddy, I'm telling you, when you study the Word of God, Isaiah chapter number 5. Amen. Isaiah 5. I'll give you the verse here in a minute. I believe it's verse number 12. Isaiah 5 and in verse number 14, rather. Amen. The Word of God says, hell hath enlarged herself, and that without measure. Say, what does that mean? That means hell's getting bigger and bigger and more populated with every passing day. Amen. Every 2 seconds, every less than 2 seconds, there's another soul that leaves this world. There's another soul, amen, that slips out into eternity. Amen. Another old person just drew their last breath. Another teenager just ran their car around the telephone pole. Another mad friend just died of cancer in a hospital bed somewhere. And over and over and over, with every passing hour, hell hath enlarged herself to receive the souls of men. The fullness of hell. And notice with me the reality of hell's fire and hell's fullness. But amen, when Jesus said, how can ye escape the damnation of hell, the reality of hell, amen, speaking of fire and speaking of fullness. But in this question and in light of the Word of God, there is the reality of hell's forever. Hell is an eternal place. You say, preacher, I'm going to live my life the way I want to live. And we'll see how it all goes in the end. And if you're telling the truth, and if Jesus is the only way of salvation, then I'll go face my judgment. I'll get it over with. And then surely the Lord will let me into heaven one day. You listen to me good and well. Hell is not a place of purgatory. My friend, where you ever able to pay for the crimes and sins you've committed against the law of God? Hell is a place where, my friend, it is forever and forever and forever. The only reprieve I can find in all the Word of God, and it is no consolation, is that in the end times when, amen, after the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth, Satan is loose for a season. He goes and deceives the nations. Christ conquers him once and for all. But Jack, the only reprieve I can find, and I'm telling you there's no peace in it, is that there appears a great white throne. Jesus sitting on the throne. Amen. Calls for all the dead, both small and great. And John the Beloved said in that revelation and that vision, he said there was found for them, amen, no place they could not hide. They could not run at the summons of Almighty God. Amen. One by one they appear before the judge. Bible said that the sea gave up the dead which are in it. The grave gave up the dead which were in them. God summons every sinner to appear before himself. And then the only reprieve is, amen, hell delivers up the souls that are in them. For a brief moment of time, I can kind of picture maybe, amen, maybe there's a sinner that thinks, finally, this is over. Finally, amen, I'm going to be rescued. Only to find the pronouncement of their eternal judgment in the great white throne, when not only are they themselves, amen, cast into the lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone, amen, hell and death are going to be cast in the same place. And John the Beloved said, what I seen it was forever and ever. Buddy, I'm telling you, this reality of hell's forever, something we can't even quite comprehend on this side. Amen. Remember being a young person hearing messages like I'm preaching today on hell. Brother Maurice, they would begin to talk about burning through eternity. And I would sit in my seat and I would try to imagine that. Now I would imagine, what would it be like to burn for 10 years? And then after that 10 years, another 100 years. And after another 100 years, amen, the way that we have a concept of time, which does not even exist in eternity, but to have it in some way that we can think about it, I would think about what would it be like to burn for 1,000,000 years. I can't even comprehend 1,000,000 years of time. In my mind, I would picture that, and in a brief moment of time, I would imagine what would it be like to be in fire for 1,000,000 years. See, even at that age, I believe what them men of God was telling me about hell being a place of forever. There would be the thought that would cross my mind, after 1,000,000 years, you ain't even started to have begun. Do you understand today the Word of God is clear? Hell is a reality. I'm telling you today, we're sounding the warning. Dear God, please get some sinner's attention today. You don't want to go there. There ain't nothing in this world. There's nothing, amen, you're clinging to that would be worth, amen, risking an eternity in a place called hell. Amen, you'll burn in fire. You'll be there. Amen, listen, the fullness of hell. Amen, why is hell so full? Because there's all kinds of people there. Said, preacher, I ain't all that bad. Do you realize there? Listen, if you die in your sin and go to this real place called hell, you may be good in our eyes. You may not cheat and do some things and, amen, that seem to be as bad, but do you realize you're going to go to the same place the sodomite's going to burn forever and ever? Do you realize you'll burn in the same place the rapist is going to go? Do you not understand the reality of fire and fullness of hell? That, my friend, it's where good little boys and girls, amen, and teenagers, amen, yet they did not truly put their faith in Christ, amen, and profess Him to be the only way. They never repented of their sin. They never turned. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ had changed their nature and to change what they are by their nature. Birth. And they go to the same place. You see, hell today, the reality of hell, when I think of its fire and fullness and forever, there are people in hell today played the part, sang in the choir, preached messages, shook hands in fellowship with the people of God. They're burning right next to sot drunks and terrorists and murderers and the worst of the worst lowlifes that have ever walked on God's earth. You not like that, you can like it, not like it. That's what the Word of God teaches.
Amen. 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 Amen.
That's a reality. That is a reality that cannot be escaped. You cannot escape that reality of this place called hell. Well, I feel like I may need to just stop. I didn't intend on that. Amen. Let me just be real sensitive this morning. We'll see what we need to do. I want you to notice in this question is not only the reality of hell, but there is the retribution in hell. You've got to listen to what Jesus said. You've got to listen. If you're not going to listen to me, will you please listen to what Jesus said? How can ye escape the damnation? The damnation. Here's what they say about your pastor, your preacher. The preacher, if you're here today and I'm not your pastor, amen, what they say about the preacher you're listening to, they'll say, oh, he's just a hellfire and damnation preacher.
Thank God. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Thank God.
Mark me down. You can say that as an insult. It's not an insult. I take Amen. It to be Amen. A compliment.
Yes, sir.
Because when you say that about me, but Riley, all they're doing is putting me in the same category of preacher as John the Baptist
yes, sir.
And the Lord Jesus Christ Amen. Was.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Jesus said, there is damnation.
That's right.
Damnation. So that's a cuss word, not the way it's being used.
Right.
The word damnation, I don't know if I need to preach this. Let me just give you a word on it and we'll see. I may be done, all right? This word damnation, it means more than fire and torments. Damnation deals with that tribunal, that courtroom scene, whereby the divine law of God declares and executes the judgment you deserve for your sin. Damnation removes all hope. Damnation means you've crossed a line. You've gone beyond the point and the day and the opportunity to be saved. You're now, amen, you are now standing in the judgment.
Yes.
I would remind you, the Bible said it is appointed unto men once to die. Now after this life, after you draw your last breath, the judgment. And so today this word speaks again of a tribunal whereby divine law hands down a just sentence. Amen. It's not an unjust sentence. Somebody said, hell, this concept, this doctrine, this is place that you say is a reality. Why, if that is real, preacher, why in the world would God send sinners to such an awful place? Why would he put men in that place of fire, that place of wickedness, that place of eternal forever burning and burning? God is more, they would say, more fair than that. Has nothing to do with fairness.
Amen.
Everything to do with justness.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You see, when a sinner dies in their sin without Christ and receives the damnation of hell, the sentence is pronounced, the judgment is made, the execution is being followed through. Amen. There is not one sinner, amen, in the first 5 seconds of hell, amen, and throughout eternity that will ever be able to lift their fist to God and say, I don't deserve where I'm at. The fact of the matter is, sin is what will send you to hell. You measure that against somebody else. Amen. You measure it against the men down in the penitentiary. Amen. You measure it, my friend, against the low-life drug dealers that are in our county. Amen. And you may stack up real good somewhere along the way. The fact of the matter is there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none good. The Bible declares, no, not one. You die rejecting Jesus Christ, as you'll see in the text, probably this evening, the way I'm going, Brother Larry. Amen. I wanted to preach tonight on blemished lambs, but I think we're going to have to get back on this. Brother Jack, I'm telling you, there is a crowd, amen, that is trying to justify themselves. Amen. They're like the Pharisee that went down to pray. Amen. And while he's praying, a publican came in, and a publican began to smite his chest and lift up his hands to an almighty God. Amen. And say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Bible said that Pharisee looked over there in the prayer, and the man said in the broken attitude and the repentance and the begging of that sinner, here's what the Pharisee said, Lord, I just want to thank you that I'm not as this publican. Say, well, I just want to thank God I'm not like the man in the penitentiary. Yeah, you go ahead with that attitude. Here's what Jesus said. Amen. The Bible said the Pharisee went back home, amen, and was not justified. The publican had said and got honest with God, I'm a miserable wretch. I'm a man that cannot save myself. I'm a man that deserves damnation. Though I deserve damnation, I am desiring mercy. Amen. And he found the mercy of God upon his life.
Amen.
You see, you can admit what you are, or God will, amen, give the verdict to you about what you are.
Amen.
But either way, it doesn't change what you are.
Yes, sir.
The retribution is that men live their life rejecting God's grace and God's mercy and God's Son. They cling to their sin. A life that is fit for nothing more than the eternal flames of hell. Do you understand? The retribution is hell, in hell, as Christ is teaching it in this single question. The damnation of hell. It is what we all deserve. There is not a person in this room today, from the greatest Christian among us to the most carnal Christian, to the heathen today, to the most wretched person in our county. Are y'all listening? Sister Wells is here today, tremendous giant of the faith and Christian lady. From her to the woman last night that was given in immoral acts, they both deserve the damnation of hell. So I don't believe that. You don't believe the Bible. I don't know if there's a man that carries a heavier burden for sinners than Larry Jenkins. God saved him, and he's a saved man. He's as faithful a man to this church and this preacher and the Bible as you'll find in all this county. But from him to the moonshiners, the drunkards, some of the nastiest men in this county, from him to them, we all deserve damnation. Now, I know that's hard for your mind to get wrapped around, but you better get it wrapped around what the Bible says. We all deserve the judgment of God. You see, the law says if you offend in one point, you are guilty of the entire thing. It is an unbreakable chain that is bound by the holiness of Almighty God. Jesus said, how are you going to escape that?
Yes.
How are you going to escape? How are you going to be saved from what you deserve?
Right.
But y'all, I know it's, y'all come back tonight, it gets a little better. I think I'm going to get it a little better. It's feeling pretty good right now.
Amen.
Good preaching.
Jesus said, you deserve hell. You deserve to be judged eternally.
Yes, sir.
Not just because of what you've done, you better get it, but because of what you are.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
That's right.
You say, what am I? You're a rebel?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
You're full of pride. You're a proud person. Self-sufficient. Amen. A lover of iniquity. The only thing you're fit for is the damnation of hell. Preacher, surely not. Outside of the grace of God and the glorious mercy of my Savior, you know what I deserve today? Some of y'all, boy, you pinned some, y'all pinned dozens of roses on me. I ain't worth half of what some of y'all think I'm worth. And some of y'all, I'm worth more than some of y'all think I'm worth. But all the accolades, Daniel, the fact of the matter is, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt in myself dwelleth no good thing. Anything good in me goes back to the day I rolled out of my bed as a 17-year-old preacher's kid, full of rebellion, full of stubbornness, full of sin, full of sneaking around, full of curse words, full of iniquity. Said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, I know what I am and I know what I deserve. Lord, would you be merciful to me, a sinner? Say, preacher, what happened? He was merciful to me, a sinner. He saved my soul. And he saved my life. Now, I still deserve hell, but I have found the way of escape. It wasn't up here, and it wasn't right here, and it wasn't in how far I could run or fast I could run away from the damnation. I found it on my knees, simply saying, Lord, be merciful. Have you ever come to realize what you deserve?
Amen.
Boy, we're quick to judge everybody else.
Right.
I'll be honest, they some lowlifes. They some terrible, nasty perverts.
Yes, sir.
That I'll be honest, as a man, I have a terrible time with.
Right.
Amen.
Yes,
there are people in this community that I'll be honest with, if it was up to me, they wouldn't live in this community.
Amen.
Brother Maurice, we'd go pack their bags and set them over in Jefferson County. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, if you live in Jefferson County, you just have to move them on to Knox or whatever, but send them to Asheville. Asheville seems to love all the perverts.
Yeah.
Somebody help me preach. There are people I have bad problems with. Brother Bryson, I've got to stay humble in mind and remember,
amen,
it was not for the grace of God. I was under the same damnation.
Yes, sir.
That doesn't excuse all the nasty people in our community. But if they would turn to the Lord, He could save their soul.
Amen.
The reality of hell, the retribution in hell. If you'll come back tonight, I'll deal with the rescue from hell. Because Jesus said, how can ye escape? Really, the question is telling them, so long as you stay the way you are, you cannot escape.
That's right.
But I'm going to show you some things Jesus said that was the way of escape, that had they received, they could have been saved just like that. But they kept rejecting and rejecting and rejecting because they did not like the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, you may reject me now, but the time will come when I return that every knee is going to say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. You can do that now this morning and be saved, or you can wait too late. And my friend, you're going to confess it either now in the time of decision, or later in the time of your damnation, you're going to confess who Jesus Christ is. God in His grace gives you an opportunity. I'm done right here. God in His grace gives you an opportunity to do that today and to be saved. But if you wait till you stand before Him and He has to make you do it, so I'll never. I promise you, buddy, one day, one time, you're going to bow on your knees. And it's going to come out of your lips, roll off your tongue, across your vocal cords. Jesus Christ is Lord. You'll say it. You'll confess it. It's going to come out of you. Today, tomorrow, 10 years from now, I don't know when it'll be. You're going to say it. I beg of you, say it today. I beg of you, call on Him today while He's near, while He's saving, while you have hope. You can escape. Amen. All right. Warning of wrath to come. How can you escape the damnation of hell? Well, let's stand together. Candy's beginning to play. Maybe you're saved. There's somebody, as we preach today, that in your mind you know is not ready to face eternity, to stand before the Lord. Would you come get on the altar one more time, pray for them? I know we all know them. I'm just talking about if God has nudged your heart, come pray for your children, pray for your family, pray for your moms and dads, your aunts, your uncles, your friends, your co-workers, people that you know are not going to be with you in heaven, where all the redeemed of God are going to land. Maybe today you'd pray for their soul. Some are coming. Maybe this morning you're one somebody's praying for. Maybe this morning you're the one that is the burden on somebody else's heart. I beg of you this morning, come to Jesus. See, we're not as big and bad. We won't be as big and bad on the day of our damnation, your damnation. No sinner will be as you think you are today. I don't need this. You can lift your fist and harden your heart to a sovereign God. Day's coming. Day's coming. Day's coming. I beg you, don't leave this service lost. Don't leave it lost. Don't live another day outside of the saving mercy of Jesus Christ. Got some praying this morning, every head's bowed, every eyes closed. Is there anybody? I rarely do this anymore, but is there anybody here today? You'd say, preacher, I need you to pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved. Preacher, I don't know that I've escaped and am ready. I see that hand, young man. Thank you. Is there another? Preacher, I really don't know if I'm ready to face the Lord in eternity. Preacher, the truth be told, if I die in the shape I'm in, I may be better than somebody else I've measured myself to, but preacher, in light of the law of God and His holiness, His great white throne, the fact is, preacher, I am in damnation right now, today. I deserve hell. Preacher, pray for me. Pray for my salvation. I can pray for you. I can't save you. Only Jesus can do that. Is there another? Is there another this morning? Preacher, pray for me. Boy, I hope you know you're saved. I hope you take an eternity serious. Don't wait too late. Don't wait too late. Preacher, when should I get saved? Bible said now. Right now. Now's the accepted time. Bible said you ought to be saved today. Sister, still got one or two praying and take their time with the Lord. Do you know that you're saved? Is all your family saved? Child of God, is all your family saved? She gonna keep playing. Y'all look this way. There's a song. Some of y'all will remember this. How many of y'all remember the old song, "Will the Family Circle Be Unbroken"? How many of y'all remember that? Just hold your hand up there. "Will the Family Circle Be Unbroken"? I remember my grandparents. They used to travel and sing. Granddad was a preacher. They would travel and do meetings, sing, and he would preach. But Jack, they used to sing that song, "Will the Family Circle Be Together Once Again?" Over there on heaven's shining shore, I think it says, "They are no more to separate. We'll sing around God's throne. Oh, I wonder if the family circle will be together once again." I remember them singing that, Brother Larry. And the altars would fill up with saints of God weeping. Weeping. I can remember as a wasn't even hardly a maybe just barely a teenager, them singing that song, hearing the saints of God weeping. Sister Wells, because they knew they had a son or a daughter. They had a mama or a daddy. They had somebody dear to their heart. They knew would not be around the family circle in heaven. You know what the reality of that means? If they're not there, they're in this awful place I preached about today. If we can think on that for too long without some hot tears rolling down our cheek, a brokenness or a burden settling in upon our heart, we're in far worse spiritual condition than we want to care to admit. That's right. That's right. I didn't know Sister Wells was going to be here today. Sister Wells, and I'm not telling you I'm a great preacher, they had preached a lot stronger than I did today years ago. If a man had preached a message like that, the altars would have been full. Would have been full. So, you getting on this? I'm not getting on you. I'm just trying to gauge where are we? How much help does the church really need if we can hear a message like that? And y'all been attentive and you've said amen and you've helped me preach. That ain't going to be enough. Saying amen ain't going to be enough to change anybody's eternal state. We got people that have said, and don't get mad at me now. I preached my guts out today. There have been people that have sat here uninterested. Uninterested. And need to be saved and need the Lord more desperately than they realize. Listen, I've got way over people like that intimidating me. You're not going to intimidate me. I'm going to keep preaching the devil out of you. I'm going to rear it back, drop the plow, and bust it. And yet they can sit here uninterested, no care, no concern about their soul. And really, it's kind of a reflection of the church at large. That's tough to say. It's tough to admit. Why are sinners? Why don't sinners care about their soul? I'm going to tell you why. Church don't care about their soul. Amen. I didn't intend on this to go the way it is. Amen. Right here. Where's our burden? No, you're just trying to get people to come to the altar so you can go tell all your preacher buddies what a good... I've got way beyond that. I tell very few people what happens, seen or unseen, what I know takes place. I know this, what I preach today, I know people who are not ready for eternity. God, help us to pray more than we've ever prayed, church. God, help us to do more than just say, yeah, that's right. Do you realize your children and your grandchildren? See, I ain't like these compromising preachers that are all in our community. Are y'all listening? You live the life of a drunkard. You live the life of an adulterer. You live the life of a fornicator. You live the life of somebody who never darkens the door of a church. Your family calls me and says, once you preach your funeral, I ain't preaching you into heaven. Amen. Ain't doing it. Amen. Ain't doing it. You can find you a dime a dozen all up and down this highway that will take people who lived a life with no acknowledgement of Christ. There are preachers who are sellouts and compromisers. They'll preach them straight into heaven. But believe it's wicked. It is wicked to the core. Amen. I'm telling you today, somebody's got to sound the warning. Wrath to come. I don't like to think about where my family's going to spend eternity. But you go talking about it too much, it makes me want to crawl up somewhere and start begging God for their soul. Amen. Ain't that right? I believe that's right. Billy Mitchell said he believed that's right. But Ledbetter said, I believe that's right. God help us. God help us.